Well, we're going to continue with a series that we have started, Pastor Deborah started quite a while ago, about glow-in-the-dark girls, right? How many of you have caught the messages about glow-in-the-dark girls? Well, how many of you were here last Thursday night with Girlfriends PM? We glowed in the dark, right? It was a great meeting. So we're going to continue with one more lesson. This is our last lesson of this year, I mean this school year, before summer starts, in this series of glow-in-the-dark, okay? So if you recall, we talked about walking in the light, glowing in the dark. You know, when we went out and we purchased those little glow-in-the-dark things that we gave out at Girlfriends PM, we have to actually shut my office door. We get it in the mail, and we want to see if it glows. And to see if it glows, we have to actually shut the door, close all the blinds, and take it out in the dark and see if it glows. Because in the light, you cannot sometimes see that it glows, you know? So it's the same way when we gather here at Girlfriends and we come on this campus. It's true. We have to carry the character of Christ. We have to be light to each other. But really where the rubber hits the road is when you leave this place. When you leave back to your circumstances, when you leave back to the world that you live in where there's darkness. Darkness, spiritual darkness, people who don't serve God, people who don't understand you, situations out of your control, diagnoses that come against you, want to take your life, that is when you really glow. So the darker it is, the brighter the glow. Isn't that amazing? And this is our message to you. We want to tell you, girls, the darker it gets, the brighter you glow when you have Jesus Christ in you. The darker it gets, the more your flesh is going to tell you, you don't deserve this. You shouldn't take this. They are not treating you right. Blah, 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 all the self-pity stuff. And your light is dimming and you're in the dark and you become part of the dark. But let me tell you what. When you move in the dark, when those dark clouds come over you and you shine and you start to glow, you make a difference in your world. So really, seriously, as a believer and as a glow-in-the-dark girl, you are most effective when you're in the dark. But we want you to not become part of the dark. We want to say to you, glow-in-the-dark. Let's bring it home in your marriage. How many of you are married? That's, you know, this is the one really good application. Does it sometimes get dark between you and the spouse? Okay, there's one. How many of you married girls, do you don't want to raise your hands? Oh, all there. It sometimes gets very dark between me and my husband. It's like I love the man. I've been married to him almost 30 years, but boy, it gets dark sometimes. That the darkness in me wants to rise up and, yeah, just give it to him. But do you know what? That is right there where I'm most effective. Because now I have an opportunity to glow. I don't want to. How many of you want to glow when the man gets dark? I don't. But if you do, you will change your world with your kids, with your friends, with your circumstances. When the night is at the darkest, the stars shine the brightest. That is our challenge to you as girls this morning. So we're going to go to another scripture that talks about light for this morning's lesson. Here's the deal. This morning's lesson and this scripture is a litmus test for how much you glow, for how much light you carry. Okay? It's a litmus test. So let's go to the scripture and read it. Here's the scripture. It is out of 1 John 2, verse 9 to 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. Whoa. Let's stop right there. Did you see the word says? When you say you are in the light, does that put you in the light? No. But because it says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother. We can think about that piece the whole morning. It tells me in this scripture that it is possible for those who say they're in the light to hate a brother or a sister or a person, which means that person is not really in the light, but read the scripture, is in darkness until now. So there's a deception factor here, that we can think we're in the light, we can say we're in the light, but we're not in the light. So how do we know that we're in the light? Here's a test right here. We are going to measure your light and my light this morning as to how much and how we love. The Word of God is clear. It's not my word. It's the Word of God. And this morning's message is a challenging message. It is supposed to challenge you. It's supposed to challenge. It has been challenging me big time. Because it's the Word of God that comes and says to us, okay, girls, you come in here, you sing the songs, you say, I'm in the light. And when life gets the darkest, in your darkest hour, when your emotions left the room, you don't even know that you have hormones at that point. You look for them, you can't find them. Or they go crazy on you, things get really dark. That's the test. Because what does it mean to love somebody when they love you? What good is it, girls, if we come into this room all with glow-in-the-dark little sticks and we play and we say, yeah, see, we glow-in-the-dark and glow-in-the-dark. It would be craziness if we don't turn the lights off. At Girlfriends PM, when we did the glow-in-the-dark stuff, we had to figure out how to get it dark enough in here so those lights can glow. It was a science, too, to get the room just dark enough so when the lights come in so they can glow. We don't need you to glow. Yeah, please don't go dark on us. But, you know, in the light, it's not so hard to glow, and it's not really making that much of a difference. But when your life gets really dark, that's the test. Do you glow? When everything is against you, when the arguments come, do you give a piece of your mind or do you give a soft word? The soft word, the Bible says, stops the argument. That would be the love. That would be shining the light. When somebody says something bad about you, gets really dark, what do you do? You say, well, I have a little something about her. Or do you say, it's okay. You know, she doesn't really mean it. I'm sure she was just saying that in a moment of weakness. We're just going to move on. That is where it makes a difference. So scripture here tells us that we can say we're in the light and hate our brother or sister. Let's read on. He who loves his brother or sister abides in the light. So how do we walk in the light? When we walk in love. So we're going to look at love this morning. I know you've heard multiple messages about love. But this morning, God is speaking to each one of you. And if you are honest with yourself, if you are honest with God, you are already trying to suppress that name that's coming up in your head of the person you don't like. Let it come out. We're going to deal with it this morning. That person that just ticks you off. That just have the gift to rub you the wrong way. It's like when you walk in a room and that person, you walk in a room, you see the other person, you just... change. It's like, no. She did this, she did that, you know. I am just not going to go there. I am at odds with other people. When you walk in the light, girls, you have no luxury to have odds against anybody. Because if Jesus is our example, who is he? Who does he have odds against? Doesn't the Bible say he loves everybody? So what right do you have to pick and choose who you're going to love? So when those names and when those situations come up in your heart, right now, while I'm speaking to you, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is telling you that there is a way to walk with that person in love. And the way is not for you to climb a little higher to not see her anymore, or him anymore. The way is to bow low and to say, Lord, I submit myself to love, and I'm going to love. You are clearly not walking in the light if you don't love your brothers and sisters. It's a word we can easily read and skim over, but this is very, very serious, and I know God is speaking this morning. So it says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. When you're in the light, why do you stumble? In the light, when you're in the light, when you shine the light, nobody's going to stumble over something that's lit up. They stumble over something that's dark. So when you're a believer, you can very well still be a stumbling block. When darkness comes, you walk into darkness, you become part of the darkness. People are going to stumble over you. When people stumble over you, don't be mad at them. Shine your light so they won't stumble over you, because they will see your light and there would be no reason for stumbling. Then the Bible says, but he who hates his brother, would he just stop? You know, reading the scripture. Okay, we get the message, but no, God's not done with us yet. He says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness. Girls, this is for us. If you hate your sister, or if you hate your brother, or if I do, we are in darkness. And there is no light in you. And you are in danger of slipping and sliding and becoming a stumbling block for others. And does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Has anyone of you ever tried to walk in the dark not turning on the lights? If you're a mother, you have. You don't turn on the lights for some reason. And you know the hazards. You walk right into the side of the door. The other night, I walked right into my bed, the foot end of my bed. I thought I knew exactly where the dresser in the bed was. And I'm walking and wham, into the bed. I'm thinking, I knew the bed was there, but it was dark. I couldn't see, although I thought I could see. Okay, then let's go to the scripture before this scripture. 1 John 2:8. We're talking about love is the factor here, right? Walking in love. Thus my topic, the glow of love. That is what we're talking about here this morning. 1 John 2:8 says, again, a new commandment I write to you. Okay, now what is the new commandment? Love one another, okay? That is the new commandment. Which thing is true in him and in you? Jesus is the light. The Bible says he's the true light with a capital L. And you and I learned these last weeks, we are the light of the world. Because the darkness, or spiritual darkness, or the law for that matter, has passed away, and the true light is already shining. That true light is Jesus Christ. Okay, what is this new commandment I give you? John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do you know what is new to this commandment? This commandment, love is not new in the scripture. Okay, what makes this commandment new is Jesus instituted this that changed everything. Jesus entered the world and this earth in a time period where the religious establishment in the Jewish faith was in full swing with their leaders and their Pharisees following laws for thousands of years. Okay? Just imagine that. They wore robes, they were separated from the people, they put themselves separate, they put laws on people. They said, in order to get to God, you have to do this, you have to do that, all these set of laws, rituals. And on top of all that, once you've done all those things, you had to do it again because it was an imperfect system to get you to God. Although God is love, he's always been love, but in the Old Testament, we find the way to God through the law and through works. Here comes Jesus, and he starts preaching and teaching on the earth. What happens? Did the people accept him? The religious establishment tolerated him. He started doing miracles, signs, and wonders. And then at one point, we see that something changes. They start questioning Jesus. They start telling him he's not keeping the Sabbath. They call him a glutton and a wine bibber because of what he's doing. They question everything he does and everything he is about. We find that in the book of Matthew, in the chapter of 11. Listen to this, those of you who love studying scriptures. We see Matthew 1 through 10, Jesus is about his business. Matthew is confirming who Jesus is. He's doing all these miracles. And something changes in chapter 11. Because now the Jews are out to kill him. Now they've decided this man is, you know, we need to get rid of him. And now the battle starts. What is Jesus' response to that? Jesus starts in rebuking them. He rebukes them because they didn't take the miracles. He rebukes them. He calls them a brood of vipers. He says to them, you bunch of snakes. Because they stuck with religion, the law, and not accept Jesus. Because what is Jesus' MO? Jesus came to, through love, make the way back for us to God. In the Old Testament, Eve messed up. We were separated from God. There's a law that got us to God that was imperfect. It was hard to handle. It was not easy. And here comes Jesus, and he starts doing miracles. He says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the Son of Man. And I'm teaching you about the kingdom of heaven. And they start nitpicking him. After he rebukes them, they come to him, the Pharisees, and says, Jesus, can you give us a sign? And Jesus says, I will not give you a sign. The only sign you will get is the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the grave, and then I will rise again. But what is so beautiful to me is in the chapter 11, in the book of Matthew, in the midst of all this turmoil with Jesus coming to win a lost and dying world, them rejecting him, choosing the law above him, Jesus says something that brings light to everything. Also, what he is saying in this scripture I'm going to share with you, it changes everything. And in this scripture, in Matthew 11, we find the keys to walking in the glow of love. Okay? Because now remember, this is now the old dispensation and the new dispensation. Jesus is coming to say, you don't need the law anymore. I have fulfilled the law. Jesus did not come to replace the law. Jesus didn't come and say, there's grace, now you can kill each other and just do whatever you want. It's like a glass was half full of water. Listen to this. The law was like a glass that was half filled with water. There's water in. It will get you, in the meantime, it will carry you over, but the glass is not full. So when Jesus came, he was the one that filled that cup. He fulfilled the law. He made the law perfect. He says, if you stumble in this one thing, not loving, you're breaking the whole law. And if you keep this one commandment loving, you are now fulfilling the whole law. Do you see that God is love? And when Jesus came into the world, this is what he was all about, was love. Not saying I'm in love or in the light, but actually being in the light through his love. Romans 5 verse 5 says, he came and shed abroad his love into our hearts. It was not so in the time of the law. Okay, so let's go to that scripture of Matthew that I talked to you about. Let's page to Matthew 10. Just want to show you. Matthew 10. It's Matthew 11, actually. Matthew 11, and here is the scripture. Scripture says, very familiar scripture, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want you to see the context of this verse. Remember, this is the message Jesus brings into a religious establishment that says you have to follow the law. That's the only way to get to God. Now, listen, these people missed Jesus. They didn't recognize him because he didn't come the way they thought he was going to come. They wanted to make him king. They wanted to do a big thing, him start ruling the world. But no, it's like us, you know. We want to rule the world. We want to control our lives to the T. And God bless the one who gets in our way. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus came in and he's teaching us something crucial that is the key to walking in love and walking in the light. According to this verse, this is the hinge. Everything has now changed, and it is all about relationships. In the Old Testament, it was following the law, and the priests go once a year for atonement of the people, and then they sinned again, and animals had to be slaughtered. It was such an imperfect system. But here comes the Lamb of God that was going to be slaughtered, and his blood was going to do the job for once and for all. And how does he do this? He comes and he now tells us something that's seemingly so simple that the religious establishment rejected him. And ultimately they killed him because it just didn't measure up. Just like you sitting here and saying, you tell me to love this person, you've got to be kidding. You don't know what this person did to me. You don't know how nasty these people are. You sitting here and saying, it is impossible to walk in love with these people that don't love me and I don't love them. I'd much rather just stay away. I want to tell you, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you say you're a believer and you're a Christian, then you don't have that luxury anymore, because Jesus gave his life. He set an example for us. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to walk in the light? Are we going to walk in darkness? So now everything has changed. It's all about love, okay? It's all about love. When Jesus entered, everything changed. Okay, so we find this scripture I just read to you, the key to walking in the glow of love. Let's look at it. First of all, my first point is, come to me. Here Jesus says, come to me. Can you believe it? They rejected him. They blasphemed. They treat him horribly. They started plotting to kill him. And he is saying to the establishment, you brood of vipers, you're a sinful generation, whitewashed graves. He rebukes them, but look what he does. And he also rebukes the cities where he did miracles that they didn't follow, if you know the scripture. So he goes from the establishment and religion that he's against, and he's getting personal now. You see that? He now says to you personally, come to me. So if you're sitting here this morning and you have not responded to that, today is your day to respond to coming to Jesus. Because everything I'm going to say from now on does not apply to you if you don't do this first thing. And that is come to Jesus. Okay? So he's inviting us. He says, I am now a personal God. I am the Messiah. I am the final lamb that's going to die. Now I'm going to take you through me into the very presence of God. No longer the law, no longer the priest. I am going to be the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So the first key to walking in the glow of love is to come to Jesus. Okay? Let's look at why. He says, come to me, because you cannot love everybody. Have you noticed? The people that tick you off, you can't love them, right? So here's his invitation. He says, come to me, because God is love. So when we come to God, he sheds the love abroad in our hearts, and now we can love people really with God's kind of love. Amen. There are different kinds of love in the scripture. Let's look at the different kinds of love. Just review, because I know you know this, many of you. The different kinds of love are first agape love. Okay? Agape love, which is, the definition of agape love is giving of yourself for the betterment of others. We want the definition of love to be, I feel good, oh, I feel tingly. I know everybody loves me, I want to sing, I'm so happy, that's love. No! Because you know why? That comes and then it goes. That's why people get married. I love you. They sing. They wear dresses and they have parties and they love and go on honeymoon. And a year or two later, they wake up and say, oh, I don't love you anymore. Because they loved with their own kind of love. Phileo love is brotherly love, or eros love. Yeah, we need to talk about that one sometime. It's the sensual and sexual kind of love. But there's a different word in Scripture for the God kind of love. It's called agape love. And that love is the love that gives of itself to the betterment of someone else, like Jesus did. And like Jesus did, he's telling you to do. And you cannot do it on your own if you don't first come to him. So he invites you, and he says, if you are, it was, that scripture was about the law and all the rituals. But even us, girls, as saved women, we sometimes still walk in darkness and under the law of, I'm not good enough, these people hate me, I hate them, I'm going to just avoid them, I'm just going to do these things. This is not victorious love. Okay, as believers, we can be in that spot. And this is what God is saying this morning. Come to me. Okay, his word for us this morning, come to me. Let's see what that means. You have tried other ways. Okay, you have tried your ways to walk in love. You know you're supposed to. You've tried it, but you will fail if you don't love them with a God kind of love. How do you do that? First, come to God. You can run away from it. There's a story in the Bible about Jonah. Jonah who ran away. You know, he ran away from God because he didn't like the people. Seriously, that's what it will do. If you don't like the people, God loves the people. So even if they're sinful, God is where the people are. But if you don't have the love of God, if you don't love the people, you're going to run away from the people. When you run away from the people, the Bible says you're in darkness and God is not there. So if you have this uneasiness and this unhappiness about relationships in your life, it is time for you to once and for all deal with it. And stop the self-pity, and stop the judgment, and stop the accusations, and take responsibility for your own life. And say, I am going to come to Jesus, I am going to look at his love shed abroad in my heart, so he can really seriously teach me how to love the unlovable. And that is the only way that it's ever going to happen. And that is the only way we are ever going to walk in the light. Do you girls see what I'm saying? We say we walk in the light, we sing in the light, but this one little thing is not so little. When you do not like other people, when you hate them, you say, well, I don't really hate them, but do you love them? That's your commandment. They ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus, you come with this new way. You come and tell us you're the Messiah. So tell us, what should we do? Give us another law. And Jesus says, simple. You love God, you love others, and he paid for it. Yeah? So he started with, first come to me. If this love, girls, if this love is not real, if this love is not evident in your life, you can forget about having a successful relationship with anybody else. Because everybody else is going to be wrong. You know, you married the wrong man. How many of you said that? Oh, I must have just married the wrong guy. I think I missed God. If I could just get rid of him, I'll get another one. And it's going to be so much better. Yeah. Hello. The other one has even more baggage because now you're older too. Amen. You don't want to start all over again. Better stick with the one you have and learn how to love him. Because it's just a matter of time. Everybody's going to disappoint you. Everybody is going to disappoint you. It is about you. That is why God is saying to us as girls here at the Rock, girls, walk in the light. Glow in the dark. Not you, but let me come in. Tell me, come to me. Did you see what it said? He said, come to me and I will give you. You just come. And he sheds abroad. That's the miracle that happens. You don't have to figure out a formula how to get the love in your heart. God's love, agape love. He says, come to me and I'll give you. Unlike the next point. Point number two says, a little differently, says, take my yoke. Take. Now this one, you have a choice. Okay? The scripture says, take my yoke. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about keys to walking in the glow of love. Now you say, what? A yoke? Jesus is offering me a yoke? Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is that wooden stuff they plop on the necks of oxen. And they can't move. And now they're under control of their master to make them go another way. And it hurts. I mean, can you imagine that oxen pulling his neck out and say, I want to go this way? People do that and they become a real pain in the neck. It's that yoke, you know. The yoke is going one way. So you say, this is a paradox. It's an oxymoron to say, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. In the next verse, can you go to the next verse? And it says, for my yoke is easy. That's the paradox. Are you kidding me? The yoke is easy? It's a yoke. The Bible talks about yoke as sin, the yoke of bondage, the yoke of slavery, the yoke of sin. It's in the negative. And here comes Jesus. He says, you want to be yoked? I have a yoke too. You want to be yoked with the Pharisees and the religion? You need to switch yokes. If you're yoked under bondage, what is your resolution? What is the way to go? Is to take the yoke of Jesus, and he says it's easy. Now, what does that mean? He also says, take up your cross and follow me. Is that easy? And we had this discussion yesterday. I talked to a couple of people and said, what does it mean to you? The yoke is easy? What's that? Is that a joke? Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Esther, you know the story of Esther? Yes. When she had to stand in the gap, she didn't want to at first. And then she said, what did she say? She says, I will do it. If I die, I die. What's easy about that one? Think about that. We say, well, my yoke is easy. We quote the verse. What's easy about that yoke? To die daily? Take up your cross and follow me? Jesus, our example, he died. He went to the cross and he died. What was easy about that one? Here's what that scripture means. It doesn't mean you're not going to feel anything. It actually means your flesh is going to die like the oxen. No longer can that beast go where he wants to go. Because all of us have a beast inside of us. If that thing is let loose, man, there's no telling what's going to happen. So he says, it's easy. Why is it easy? When it doesn't look so easy. Listen, this is the key. It is easy because it's the only pathway to life. He says, my yoke is easy. The word means it's suitable. It's not going to hurt you. It's going to bring you to the path of life. Now, you know what I want to call that yoke? The oxen carries those yokes on them. You've seen the pictures. And they go, did you know, it's interesting with oxen, that they use two of them. They usually use an older and a younger one. The old oxen bring a little one that doesn't know this deal about, you know, submitting to the... Isn't that something? So this all has application. Did you know that if you, an ox is 10 times stronger than a human being? That's quite something. They breed and train to work. So when you take one oxen's strength and he plows by himself and another oxen plows by himself and their strength and you put it together and you take two oxen pulling together on one yoke, they're much stronger together than what they are added up apart. So we are invited, but it's a yoke that you take. Rest he gives you. The yoke you take, that yoke is called love. Love. It is love that we have to take upon. We have to move in under. Because with the oxen, farmers don't put yokes on oxen to try to just beat them up or hurt them. The intention is to harness the power. See that? What is it in your life as a believer that's going to harness the power? It's not like you become now You know, like we have the definition of what is weak and what is meek. Meekness is not weakness. Our definition for meekness is power, like the ox, under the control of agape love. See how that works? So it's agape love that we take upon ourselves, and we come in under this yoke of love and submitting ourselves under it and say, Lord, I'm going to do things your way. Then you become meek like the strong ox, meek, but he's strong in what he's going to do. It's the same with us as believers. Under the yoke of love, we become meek because now our power is harnessed in that yoke. The problem is, here's the deal. You come in under that yoke, right? We say the yoke is love, we understand. You come under that yoke like the oxen, and you under the love of God. Oh God, I love you, you're so perfect, you're so beautiful, I love this. And then you look over, and you're like, who's this? Seriously? This is a baby God you put next to me. Which means you're an old ox, that's all it means. We look to the other oxen in the yoke and we're like, no, I'm stuck with that. You wake up in the morning and you look the other side of the bed. You go to family gatherings and you look around and say, this is my family. You come to church and you sit in church and you judge the other people. You look at the other people yoked with you and you say, what a hypocrite. I saw her buy a beer the other day and she's in the yoke with me. And you sit in church. Shame on you. That's the problem we are having, girls. The yoke is one thing, but now I'm yoked together with other people. Jesus came to earth and established an institution. It's not really an institution, a body called the church. And he says, you cannot do life alone. You can, but you're going to be like one ox. You come as the church now under the yoke of love, and you are going to be strong 10 times, 1,000 times stronger than what you can be alone. But your problem is you don't love these people. So, what is the answer? Come to me, he says. Take my yoke. You have to become less. That power that wants to go all over the place, you want to beat people up with the word of God because you're so spiritual. God is saying, come under my yoke. Come under my love. That is where you're going to be effective. And you lose your rights. You lose your rights under that yoke because for sure you're going to go in the direction the master now shoots you to go. But that, look at a field with oxen, beautiful straight lines. They all yoke together, pretty, everything grows. Put those oxen without yokes in that land. What happens? Tell me. It's a mess. It's chaos. Have you ever said my life's a mess? Is your life a mess? You need to yoke yourself. Come under the yoke of love. Let that power in you and that passion in you be harnessed into taking you into straight lines, plowing straight lines. It's not easy in the sense we think easy, but remember we said his yoke is easy. It is because it leads you to life where you are supposed to go. You're not going to get to life and satisfaction of your soul that the scripture says rest for your soul. You are never going to get, girls, if you are not in that yoke of love. It's not God's fault. He's very clear. He says, take it on you. Last point, and in 2 minutes I'll be done. Last point, many illustrations in the scripture. Learn from me, Jesus says, learn from me because I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Learn from me. What do we learn? What do we learn? The lesson? Here's the deal. You're not learning the lesson. Jesus is the lesson. You don't learn these things and say you're something, you become it. You don't say you're a Christian, you become a Christian. You don't say you walk in the light, you become the light. Big difference, right? And now he says, learn from me. It's like, what, Lord, do I learn from you? You just put these people in their place. You flipped over the table. Oh, boy, do we love to quote that one. You know, Jesus came and he flipped. He called them a brood of vipers. Man, he told them the way it is. And now we can do it too. It's like, oh, we have scripture for that one. I use it sometimes. Because I get mad sometimes. And I, whew, you know. But those words were for the religious establishment, the yoke of bondage, the law. Do you think Jesus would be mad when he saw his people like oxen under the yoke of law on their way to hell? That's what angered him. So we really have to be just really careful with that. You know how your kids, you want to teach them stuff? You teach them, be nice when we go to those people's house and the family. You have to be nice, okay? To be nice with the kids, behave yourself. You eat everything they give you to eat, just be nice. But at home, when Aunt Mary comes up as a subject, in front of the kids you say, you know that Mary, man, did she tick me off the other day. Who does she think she is? She says she's a Christian. Man, she is so full of... You know it because you say it. And you... Blah, 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 blah. And then we go to Aunt Mary's house and you tell your kids, now you behave. It's a nice people, this. Nice people. It happened to me one time. I was in a car with my boys. It was Yolandi, I think, was young. And we were on our way to really good friends of ours, but at the time we're still getting to know them. Kind of crazy people. And we talked about it, that they're crazy and their kids were out of control. So we did. So this little girl sitting in the back seat, where are we going? We go to so-and-so. And you know what she said? She was like, not even two. She said, oh, are they the people with the bad kids? And we're like, no. Whoever told you the kids were bad? So we had the next 10 minutes before we get to the house that we have to convince the two-year-old that these are really good people. They are wonderful. The house is great. These kids are amazing. These kids, they don't learn from what you tell them. They learn from what they see. You act like the devil and you want kids or angels. Don't work that way. You cannot just say and do everything you like. Just treat your husband like a piece of scrap. And then tell your kids, you have to honor your father. It's like, who are you kidding? Seriously. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, don't go all over the place looking for miracles and signs and wonders and deep revelation and deep lessons. He says, for goodness sakes, girls, just look at me. I'm going to end with this scripture. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. In your relationships with one another, it's about relationships. Have the same mindset as in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. That was pure meekness. That was power harnessed under the yoke of love that Jesus said. And he says, learn from me. Learn from me. You're not all that. You're just not. Jesus became less. Are you getting along with others? Are you a pleasure to be around? That's what you say, but what would your family say? Do a little survey, send it in the mail to your homes and say, okay, sister so-and-so said to girlfriends and say, she tells us that she's pretty amazing. Why don't you tell us what she's like in the house? Just why? We're watching you. No, just kidding. Is your love for others evident to those who are watching? These are the questions. Jesus says, come, I will give. Okay? the love, the rest for your soul. Then he says, take my yoke. It's easy because it's bringing you real life. Thirdly, he says, learn from me. Be like me. Stop looking at other people, competing with others. Be like me. 1 John 1:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness till now. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because in the darkness he is blind.